Woodbury Reports with your host, Lon Woodbury, talking with leading professionals about how parents and others can help their struggling teens, preteens, and young adults. Now here's your host, Lon Woodbury.
Welcome to the Woodbury Report. This is Lon Woodbury, and it's July 21st, 2017, and I have Dr. Russell Hyken on the phone. Dr. Hyken, hi. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Yeah, it's afternoon now for both of us. Well, Dr. Hyken is a therapist and an educational consultant and founder of the Educational and Psychotherapy Services. I had located in St. Louis, but I guess you're also located in Utah now.
Yes, two offices to serve my clients better. So one in St. Louis and one in Park City, Utah.
Well, that's pretty good, and Park City is pretty good for the summer weather when it heats up. Better than St. Louis, I gather.
It is, and Utah is a much better place for recovery as well. So lots of mountains and things to do.
Well, today we're going to talk about interventions. The topic is when you need to call an intervention. And part of the reason I called Dr. Hyken was that he had an article on interventions in U.S. News and World Report. So I asked him to talk about it. And the topic is when you need to call an intervention. So why don't you start off with describing just what is an intervention?
Well, an intervention to some degree is exactly what you see on TV, you know, that TV show intervention where everybody gets in the room and talks to the troubled individual in a very specific way. And I wish it were that simple. I wish I could just show up and it be done. But an intervention, to do it correctly, involves some planning. It involves working with the family, determining the issues that are there, and presenting in a very loving way that you want to help the person that needs it so they will accept it.
So it's a formal meeting. The last thing
you
need is a threat, I presume, or anything that sounds like a threat.
You know, and that is correct, and we never threaten, but, you know, there do have to be consequences if somebody doesn't want to accept treatment. Mm-hmm. And so when you work with the family, you know, you want to position it in such a way that, you know, we're no longer going to support the behavior. So that's not a threat. It's about what I am going to do or not going to do. So I'm not going to allow you to take money out of my bank account to pay for your addiction, or if it's a mental health issue, I'm not going to allow you to stay in your room anymore. We're going to have to do something different. So it's about not threatening, but it's about not supporting in a way that you have that's promoted the unhealthy behavior.
You know, though, on TV, and generally what I hear about is interventions and is regarding alcohol or drug use, but from what you're talking, it sounds like it's broader other mental health issues, too, that have been causing troubles for the family.
It is, you know, and that's what you typically think of, is that it's just a drug addiction, but many people suffer from some pretty extreme mental health issues, bipolar, schizoaffective disorder, maybe even just depression that is so treatment resistant that that person can't move forward. Families need to start thinking about how to help that person, and an intervention is a very logical way to help that person seek what they need or to get them moving forward. It's just a very methodical process that will benefit anybody who's struggling with life issues.
I presume an intervention is something after a lot of other options have been tried or at least explored.
Explored, definitely tried, hopefully. You know, you don't want to go from, gee, you know, I caught my husband, wife, son, or daughter, you know, drunk, and we're going to do an intervention. The first thing you want to do is talk with that person. Usually by the time I get the phone call for assistance, there's been a lot that's happened before, that the family and the family member in particular have seen a variety of doctors, psychologists, psychiatrists, therapists, and nothing really seems to be working. And that's the key. It's when you've tried the traditional methods that something more outside the box or more intense is needed. So, yes, I strongly recommend that it's the last call that you should have to make.
Another question I have, because we have something similar like that on the Dr. Phil show. How legitimate or accurate or common is what he does when people come on and they work something out?
Well, I find Dr. Phil to be very entertaining. I don't find him to be very therapeutic. What's interesting about Dr. Phil is he actually does get people to some really reputable places. I've got a lot of respect for that. He's very aggressive and attacking, I think, with some of those people on TV. So he's not really doing an intervention. He's more putting somebody on the spot on national television and creating an emotional drama. That said, sometimes it works and he gets people to treatment, so you know what, good for him. But that's not how I see it happening. Those don't feel as loving as I think they should be.
Do interventions, but despite all the planning and the family all on the same page and all at the same place, are there very many happen to where they adamantly refuse to go and it doesn't work?
The majority of time, I would say 90%+ of the time, the intervention goes well if it's planned correctly. You know, every now and again, it doesn't work out, but it's all about the planning, and that's where the interventionist comes in, to hire somebody who really knows what they're doing to help walk you through the steps. And it's not, you know, if you call me today at 2 o'clock, I'm not coming to your house at 4 o'clock to do an intervention. Mm-hmm. So to make them effective, they need a lot of planning, and there's a lot of steps to follow in between. There's a whole sort of therapeutic, logical paradigm that will make sense to make sure it is successful.
If a family gets to the point to where they've tried everything and nothing works, and they think there's an intervention, what's the first thing they should do? Call somebody that knows what they're doing, like yourself?
Correct. First thing is to get a true professional involved that knows the process and that knows the treatment centers, or to work with a treatment center. If you've already identified a treatment center, sometimes they'll provide, not provide, but they'll point you to some interventionist. But a professional interventionist would be an important part of the process. You don't want to just take that on as a family, because there could be a lot of hurt feelings and it could go terribly wrong. And then who's responsible? Somebody who shouldn't have been and shouldn't have been doing it.
That was my first question, or next question, was that don't do this by yourself at home. I presume that would be your recommendation.
That's a strong recommendation. Put your team together. And a good interventionist will actually help you put your local team together. So is that, you know, if it's a young adult individual, is it mom and dad? Is there a close family friend? There's a lot of different people that can be involved that will ensure the success of that intervention. Then also let the client know that they're very supported, and that's a big piece of it as well. If you can get a team together that understands the process and lets the loved one know that they're going to be supported through this process, that's hugely powerful in getting somebody to accept the help.
So you get to the intervention and it's working successful. Do they go, like on the TV, they go straight to the intervention, or something worked out? What's the next step after the intervention is done?
You should plan to go straight from the intervention meeting to the facility that you're going to be attending. The intervention should also not take an extremely long period of time. It should be, you know, you don't want it to be rushed, but it needs to be a very concise, controlled meeting with an offer at the end to go get help. And then, yes, from the intervention, you go straight to the treatment facility. I always recommend families have a weekend bag packed, so there's toiletries, enough clothes to get them through a couple of days. And then once they land, wherever they land, you can send more of the supplies that they need. But, yes, go straight there. And a lot can happen in between. You don't want to say to somebody, well, you're going to treatment, and have them go out on one last bender, or if they have a mental health issue, do something that is anxiety provoking, or something that triggers them to do something that would be unhealthy. So it's a straight line if you can manage it.
So you have the travel arrangements already made?
We do, yes. And we try and choose airlines where tickets are refundable, but we have all the travel arrangements made. And like I said, I tend to like them to run very specific, on a very specific timetable, because then it doesn't allow for a lot of extraneous conversation to go on. It's like we have an agenda and a task, and we're going to do it in a very caring way, but we're not going to sit here for 4.5 hours and try and convince somebody. It's present the problems that the behaviors have caused for the family members, a lot of I statements, and then get them on a plane or in a car.
What sort of places in your experience, is the subject generally taken to? And are they your recommendations, or the parents find them, or what's the process on that?
They're typically, it's a combination. Sometimes families will call the interventionist and they will already have a place in mind, and so we just execute that. Sometimes the interventionist will be asked for recommendations, like a therapeutic consultant. Those two sort of go together. And a good interventionist will also help you case manage the situation once the client has arrived at the treatment center. We're very familiar with the ups and downs of treatment, and so a good interventionist can provide support to the family as needed to make sure and explain the process that things are going through. So a good interventionist just doesn't drop them off and walk away. They stick around and help the family navigate that primary treatment term of whatever that is, 60, 90 days.
Are they generally short-term, like, say, 90 days or under, or long-term, or does it vary?
It varies depending on the issue. So I wish I could give you a solid answer. You know, typically with substance abuse, we start out at a primary treatment facility, which is a shorter treatment facility. Sometimes with mental health, we're looking at longer-term facilities. The goal, though, of the intervention is to get the person to treatment, and we'll figure out the details a little more specifically. So we need to get them to treatment. We need to match the treatment facility to the issues that we're seeing. You know, if somebody is schizoaffective, we don't want to send them to a pure drug and alcohol facility or vice versa. So we just want to get them to treatment. And then it will hopefully all logically progress in a natural way. And typically after primary treatment, which are those shorter-term programs, a lot of individuals do go into longer treatment.
To our listeners, in a brief summary, what would be the primary or the major takeaway points that you're hoping to get across?
Well, it's time to do an intervention. We'll go back to the title of our show today. It's time to do an intervention when the family is in a lot of distress due to continued behavior from the identified client. So if it's somebody who engages in drug and alcohol use, they're constantly using substances and they're creating havoc, not just in their own life, but the lives of everybody around them. And same with a mental health issue. So make sure that you have tried alternative local methods, and that you've explored those opportunities. And once you've gotten to the point where nothing seems to be working, then it's time to call for an intervention and go to a treatment facility.
Well, very good. Could you give about a minute about your own practice, the educational and psychotherapy services that you founded?
Founded, yes, it's just me and some help. So yeah, I founded educational and psychotherapy services about 12 years ago. I am licensed in Missouri, Utah, Idaho, and a few other states I can't remember off the top of my head. And part of that's to help families with treatment. So I help family members get to treatment. I also do educational, psychological, and neurological evaluations for clients once they are at treatment centers, and I provide a lot of support. I believe that it's a very collaborative process, and I like to travel alongside the families as they navigate the waters of a very complicated situation.
So if somebody had some questions, if they wanted to talk to you more about that or perhaps engage your services, how would they get a hold of you? You know, website, email, office phone?
Of course. So my website is ED is in the word ed-psy.com, so ed-psy, short for educational-psychotherapy. You can call me directly at 314-691-7640. And if all else fails, just Google me by name, Russell Hyken, and you'll get, you know, dozens of hits on the Internet. So just feel free to Google me and call me directly, and call me anytime. I'm open to weekend and evening calls.
Very good. Well, we've about run out of time, but Dr. Hyken, thank you very much. We've been talking with Dr. Russell Hyken. The topic is when you need to call an intervention. And thank you. Very enlightening. I enjoyed this.
Hey, thank you for having me on, and nice talking with you, Lon, and I'm sure we'll bump into each other soon.
Absolutely.